passage comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Listen now for God's holy word. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. One of my favorite movies, Christmas movies, is the movie Home Alone. I was 5 when that movie first came out. So when it came out on home video, it was a movie that my family and I watched together many times around Christmas. In the movie, the young Kevin McAllister, the main character in the story, he might be 7 or 8 years old. He begins the movie at home with his parents, his many siblings, his uncle, his aunt, and his cousins. The whole family is together in this one house because the next morning they're going to fly together to Paris for a family Christmas vacation. It's a big crew all together in one space. And while they're there together, Kevin gets ignored and bullied and pushed around and slighted and overlooked. Eventually, this builds to a frustration, and his frustration erupts, and Kevin causes a fight. His punishment is to sleep alone by himself in the attic on the 3rd floor of the family house. As he is shooed away to bed, Kevin tells his mom that he wishes that he could celebrate Christmas alone, all by himself. In the morning, Kevin finds to his astonishment that his wish has come true. The family's alarm clocks failed to ring on time, and in the rushed confusion to leave the house in order to catch their flight in time, no one remembered to wake up Kevin. And the family leaves for Paris, and Kevin is home alone. As the flight to Paris takes off from Chicago, Kevin's mom, who in the movie is played wonderfully by Catherine O'Hara, she has a strange feeling. She tells her husband that she senses that they forgot something at home. She can't quite pinpoint what it is, but then, like a flash of lightning, she realizes it and screams, "Kevin!" Could there be a better sermon illustration for our scripture passage for today to help us to live into the panic and the terror that must have filled the heart of Mary when she realized that her son, Jesus, had been lost somewhere in the city of Jerusalem? Jesus! Perhaps there is a better sermon illustration, because in the sequel, Home Alone 2, Kevin gets lost in the big city in New York, just like Jesus was lost in the big city of Jerusalem. Oh well, I'll do that next year. Any one of us who has ever been in charge of a child, we can appreciate Mary's fear and worry when she realized that after their party had been traveling for a whole day's journey away from Jerusalem, that her son was not with them, but he was missing. We are told that Jesus and his family had gone to Nazareth to celebrate Passover. And when they realize on their return trip that Jesus isn't with them, Joseph and Mary go back to look for Jesus, and they search for 3 full days before they find him. Margo, can you go stay by Mom and Winnie? I love you. Go sit by Mom. You want to stay up here? Okay, then stay up here. Don't go back and forth, okay? Okay. All right. 3 whole days before they find him. And when they do finally find him, Jesus is just coolly conversing with the scholars of the law there in the temple. He had been home alone, home in his father's home. And like Kevin McAllister, who wished to be alone on Christmas, Jesus doesn't seem to be fazed by this experience of being home alone. We're told that Mary and Joseph had gone up to Jerusalem every year for Passover, and this year their son Jesus, who we know to be God's son, this year we are given the detail that he was 12 years old. This is the only story we have in any of the Gospels that shows us the young Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark and John, thank you, Jesus is introduced to us as a young, is introduced to us as an adult. In Luke and Matthew, we have the birth stories of Jesus with the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men. But this is the only story in between Jesus' early childhood and his eventual emergence as an adult. And it's interesting that we get this note that Jesus is 12. As we know, Jewish boys and girls go through the bar and bat mitzvah experience around that age. And so some commentators wonder if perhaps that is the theme that Luke is illuminating through this story. This interpretation would seem to make sense when we look at the words that Luke chooses to use in the story. In verse 43, Luke tells us that Jesus stayed behind in the temple. But Luke uses a particular word to describe Jesus. Luke could have just said, Jesus stayed behind in the temple. But Luke says, the boy Jesus. The Greek word is pais, and it means child. It's the same word that Matthew uses in the story of the wise men when they find the child Jesus. Jesus is still a pais, a child. He's not yet a man. Luke is emphasizing Jesus' identity as a not yet confirmed and independent adult. Later in the passage, Mary refers to Jesus using a different word for child. There the word is technon. It's another word for child, a term of endearment, a term that places Mary in a relationship of authority over Jesus. In response, Jesus seems to chafe against this title. He has been impressing the legal scholars of Jerusalem. He has presumably done fine on his own for 3 or 4 whole days. Is he really still Mary's child? Or in the story, has he been confirmed? In showing his understanding of the law, has he not reached and achieved his bar mitzvah? Jesus is 12. He is at the age when, in his culture and society, boys and children become adults. He is at the age of accountability, when it's his time to learn the responsibilities of being an adult. I think Luke might be showing us Jesus transitioning from his identity as a child into that of an adult. It's a time, if that time wasn't difficult enough for young people and their parents, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus have the added complication of Jesus' divine identity. Parents of tweens and teens know that making judgment calls with their kids is very difficult. What are the right boundaries to set? How much freedom do you give them, and how many boundaries and guidelines do they still need? When should a young person have a cell phone, access to the internet? How much oversight versus freedom should they have when hanging out with their friends? In Home Alone, Kevin McAllister makes good use of his freedom. He sits in his dad's chair and eats a giant bowl of ice cream. He orders a pizza, all for himself. And he watches a movie that he knows his parents would not want him to see. Freedom and boundaries. Childhood versus the responsibilities of adulthood. These questions are not easy to navigate. The answers are not easy to find. And it's often the case that parents have to make judgment calls that leave them wondering if they made the right choices at all. The right boundaries are hard to decipher. In a similar way, the meaning and the message of this story in the Gospel of Luke, the meaning and message of this story is hard to decipher. The story has tensions in it that are not easy to resolve. For some reason, we naturally hunt for and want to find out who was right and wrong in a story like this. Is the point that Mary and Joseph are neglectful parents for not noticing that Jesus was with them for a whole day? Are we supposed to think that Jesus was a scamp for staying behind and not staying with his parents and causing them so much worry? Or are we supposed to side with Jesus when he seems self-assured that he belonged in the temple and it was silly that his parents didn't know that he would be there? Maybe, but then we think about how obnoxious that kind of statement would sound coming from the mouth of a 12-year-old, and we don't know. Jesus seems self-assured, but then he relents. He leaves the temple and returns home with his earthly parents to continue his growth and development under the care of Joseph and Mary. And I think if we are honest, we are all left wondering when we read this story, what is it that it's meant to teach us? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who made the mistakes? Which mistakes were bigger or worse? What was supposed to be the takeaway from the story? What is God trying to teach us? This is not an easy passage to navigate. 12-year-olds are not easy to navigate. Jesus is not easy to navigate. And perhaps that is the point of this story. Being Jesus made life hard to navigate. It made it hard for Jesus, and it made it hard for his earthly parents. Jesus had divided loyalty, and figuring out what was right and best for Jesus when it came to his cultural commitments to his earthly family, and when it came to his truest identity as God's son, it wasn't easy to navigate. We too, all of us, have a difficult negotiation to work out in our lives of faith. Like Jesus, we too have been given by God a kind of dual identity. On the one hand, the gospel tells us that we have been given a kind of rebirth, a new life together with Jesus. His resurrection life has become our life. His victory over sin and death and evil has become our victory. We have been made new like Jesus, the one true Son of God. We are counted as children in God's family. We have been transplanted from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's ever-dawning light. We are new. We are not subject to the brokenness of this fallen world around us, for we belong to God. But on the other hand, we live in this broken world, and like God, we love and care for this fallen and imperfect people and institutions that make up the mundane reality of our daily lives. Like Jesus, we have issues of a dual identity and dual residency. Like Jesus, we live in Nazareth, but we also really belong in God's true home. We live at home, but our truest home is with God. We have earthly friends and families because of Jesus, our true friend and brother, we also have a spiritual family. This dual residency makes life hard to negotiate at times. When faced with ethical and moral choices, which commitments do we honor? And how do we honor them? When do we stand up for what we think is right? And when do we let things slide? When do we press forward for justice and hold people and institutions to account? And when do we show patience, forbearance, and mercy? When do we hold people's feet to the fire, and when do we let people off easy for the sake of peace and unity? When do we stay behind in Jerusalem? And when do we head back to Nazareth? At the end of the scripture passage, we hear that Jesus grew in divine and human favor. How do we do that? How do we grow both in divine and human favor at the same time? Perhaps the message that God has for us this morning is that it's not easy to navigate these issues. It wasn't easy for 12-year-old Jesus. It wasn't easy for Mary and Joseph. Like Mary and Joseph, we have been given the gift of new life in Christ Jesus. The result is the complicated life that is life here on earth, our lives of faith. The good news is that with God, there is always grace. This means that though there will be slip-ups and steps along the way, in the end, there will be a happy ending. The movie Home Alone has a happy ending, of course. Kevin McAllister negotiates his complicated situation with some help, some humor, and some difficulty. And in the end, he and his mother and his whole family are reunited. The family is impressed that Kevin didn't burn down the house, and Kevin is grateful to have his family back. As the story of our lives of faith continue on, My prayer is that God will bless us with grace as we navigate and negotiate the new life which we have been given from God. And my prayer and my hope is that God will bring us through to a happy ending. Amen.